Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Johnny Tan, author of From My Mama's Kitchen, Food for the Soul, Recipes for Living. Welcome to my weekly From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio Show. My guest this morning is Shannon Honan. She is a public relations, advertising, and communications professional, a wedding singer, a professional model, actress, a wife, a fitness enthusiast, and a food lover. She is known as the go-to among friends and family for advice, especially on fashion, food, fitness, and relationships. Shannon founded and developed a website titled The Daily Balance to give back and serve as a tool for others as they seek balance in their daily lives. Her daily blog covers issues from daily delish, good eats, to fashion tips to look good and to stay fit with the right exercise routine. Shannon graduated from a small private liberal arts college in Ohio with a bachelor's degree in communication in 2006 and recently earned her master's degree in January 2009. She plans to return to the world of academia for her PhD and eventually share her passion and inspire others by teaching communications at the small liberal arts college. She's here to talk about her life's journey, her passion in wanting to help others find their daily balance of simplicity amidst the daily chaos by living one day at a time. Good morning, Shannon. Welcome to From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning. Thank you. I'm doing very well. Happy to be here.
Great. Wonderful. Glad to have you here. For those who doesn't realize this, this is very interesting because Shannon tweaks and I tweak, and we found each other and we followed each other on Twitter. And so it was quite interesting. And when I found out about her website, I thought, this is something interesting, and this is someone that I felt like have done so much in short period of time, and it's someone that I really enjoy reading the things that she have posted on her blog. And it's very entertaining, especially this past yesterday's blog that you put on food about tilapia burgers. Very interesting.
Yep, we try and get creative.
No, I thought you did a wonderful job because you had the pictures and everything else. I mean, that takes a lot of time to do all that, and I'm really envious in a way, you know, like, oh wow, she's really got plenty of time amidst all the things that you're doing daily, so to speak. But let us talk about your life's journey. Shannon, please tell us about your childhood life with your family and the community you grew up in.
Sure. I grew up in a suburb outside of Cleveland, Ohio, and my husband actually likes to tease me a lot in saying that I grew up with the perfect childhood. You know, I had two great parents, still married, great role models for me, as well as a younger brother and a dog. So we were just kind of, you know, the all-American family. My mom is a teacher, so I was really fortunate to, you know, be able to spend a lot of time with her since she was off for the summers and, you know, home at a reasonable hour throughout the week. And she always did a great job of taking me and my little brother on tons of adventures, whether it be, you know, at the zoo or story hour at the library. So my parents have always been very involved in my life and always doing, you know, whatever they can to make our family stronger and, you know, share that family time. So I had a really great childhood.
That's fantastic.
What's that?
No, that's fantastic. I think, you know, a lot of times we, when we talk about the past, you know, the childhood experience and everything else, you know, we try to remember the times that we spend with friends. Obviously, you spend a lot of time with your family and that you guys are very supportive of one another, and that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you talked about friends. I lived on the same street. It was kind of like a development, you know, where there's lots of houses, all kind of look similar. But my best friend lived three houses down. I met her when I was 3 years old, and she's still my best friend. Talk to her all the time. And, yeah, we've been friends now for almost 23 years. So, yeah, great community that I grew up in, and I still do talk to a lot of those people that I grew up with.
Now, you know, I know that you're very close with your family, and you and your husband actually live in the same area right now. And
yeah.
That's great. And tell us about the relationship with your parents. I mean, you know, I believe you're very, very close. Do you all spend a lot of time together too now?
We do. You know, from the beginning, you know, my husband is now my priority. So
mm-hmm.
it was a bit of an adjustment at first because, you know, I'm used to seeing my parents all the time, and they're, you know, the people that I would put first. Of course, when I got married, I was happy to make the transition. And, you know, my husband now is the most important person in my life, and, you
yeah.
know, will always figure out what we're doing over the weekend. And then
mm-hmm.
if my, you know, family fits in, that's great. I'm very lucky in the fact that as close as me and my parents are, they've never been, you know, overbearing, and they're always very respectful of, you know, the space that we
right.
need.
Right.
But my husband's parents live in the area as well, so we try and see them often too, and I've grown very close with them. They're great people. But it gets kind of hectic, you know, over holidays and that sort of thing, because everybody, since you live in the area, you know, they immediately assume, oh, you'll be there at their function. And
right.
it's crazy because we get, you know, pulled in so many different directions. And at the end of the day, all we really want to do is spend time with each other. So it's a bit of a balancing act, but, we normally see my parents at least, you know, once a week, and it works for us. So.
Are you the oldest?
I am, yes. I have a younger brother
mm-hmm.
who's in his last year of college, so he better be studying.
How about your husband? Is he the oldest, too, or the youngest? So.
My husband has two older sisters and a
uh-huh.
younger brother.
Oh, okay.
So
he's okay. He's not missed a whole lot, but you do.
Right. Exactly.
Very, very interesting. Now, the way you met your husband, I think it was very interesting that I read about it on your site. It's a wonderful love story. Why don't you tell us about that?
Sure. Well, my husband and I were both in show choir. That's, you know, the singing and dancing thing in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And we were at a like local competition type thing, and the school that hosts the competition afterwards, they always have, you know, a school dance where everybody can get to know each other and blah blah blah. So I at the school dance was standing against the wall because I wasn't friends with a lot of people in show choir. I kind of had like my own group of friends, but I just wasn't into the whole scene, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So I was standing against the wall, and Jason, my husband, came up to me and told me that he was going to marry me someday. And mind you, I was only, I think, 14 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I was a little taken aback, and I think I laughed at him or something, I don't know, brushed him off, and walked away. But he was persistent. He came up to me again at the end of the night and asked me for my phone number, but I didn't give it to him. I gave him my screen name because at the time, you know, it was the real popular thing to talk online and, you
right.
know, get to know people that way. So did that, talked to him online. I actually did like him a lot. I went to go see a show of his that he was in with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I didn't drive. He didn't drive. We lived in different cities. And so I wasn't about to, you know, date this guy when I could date somebody at my own school. I clearly hadn't, you know, I was not wise at that point. So I dated somebody else, obviously didn't work out, bad situation. And then my senior year in high school, Jason was off to college, and
mm-hmm.
we had maintained a friendship. So
mm-hmm.
he had asked me if I wanted to meet him up for coffee when he was home over his winter break from college.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went, and we spent hours. I think we were in the coffee shop for 3 hours. He came over my parents' house afterwards, and
mm-hmm.
We made cookies, and we watched a movie, and from then on, we've been together. So that was like 7 years ago, and we got married 3 years ago. So I guess he was right when he said he was going to marry me someday. I just didn't know it yet.
See, he's focused.
Yeah, exactly. He is persistent. He knows what he wants, I guess.
There you go. Yeah, that's very, very interesting. Now, you are currently working in the field of advertising, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. And how's that, affect your, I guess, you know, you seem to have so much energy doing your blogs and everything else. I mean, how does that work? I mean, of course, you are working, you know, you're doing a lot of other things that we're going to be talking about in a little bit. So how's that, the juggling act of all this works for you?
Well, the juggling act is, you know, it can be a bit tricky. And, you know, I try and manage it. You know, if it's something that I like doing, then it's something that I will enjoy making time for, so it doesn't bother me as much. But when I do get overwhelmed or when I do, you know, feel like I need to take a break, I do put, you know, the relationship with my husband first. And if I feel like just hanging out with him one evening instead of blogging, that's what I'll do. And I think my readers respect that and appreciate that. And I think it serves as a good example for them and their lives, you know, that you can't always be perfect. But in growing up, I was in, you know, lots of different activities, and my mom always had me doing tons of things at once. So I've kind of managed the whole juggling process where, you know, I don't get stressed out easily, and I just, you know, take one thing at a time, and I guess that's how I get it done. Sometimes I'm amazed that I'm able to get stuff done, but I guess, you know, when you like doing it and when you put your mind to it, you can really amaze yourself with what you get accomplished.
I certainly understand that. Now, I mean, the fact that you are very close-knit with your family, and I presume, how about your grandparents? Are they around in the same area, or are they elsewhere?
My one set of my grandparents is around and in the same area, and both of my husband's sets of grandparents are in the same area. And we do see them frequently, not as frequently as my parents, but, you know, at least probably every month or so.
How does this, you know, the close proximity and the fact that obviously, you know, you guys have a wonderful family, how does that affect you guys when you talk about marriage and building a family, building a future? How's that come into play?
Well, we cannot wait to have kids in our own family. We're really excited to, you know, have kids and be able to give them what our parents gave us.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the reasons why I am so excited to have kids is because I had such a great childhood, and I want to be able to give someone else those same experiences. Not sure when exactly that's going to happen. There's a few things that we need to get worked out first, but I'd say definitely within the next few years. We're excited about it.
Interesting. Now, you started modeling and acting at the tender age of 3. Who introduced you to this?
My mom actually did. She got approached by, you know, a few different people who said, you know, Shannon should do modeling or, you know, whatever. And so she thought, she asked me, Shannon, would that be something you'd want to do? You know, she was never a stage mom. She wasn't those very, you know, nasty, ugly people that you sometimes see portrayed in the media. She always said, you know, Shannon, if you don't want to do this, if it gets too much, fine. Mm-hmm. But she submitted my photos to an agent here in Cleveland, and it just kind of went from there. I started working a lot. Growing up, I there were times when I had, you know, a print job or a commercial or something like that every other week.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really grateful to those experiences. I think it helped me grow up, not too fast, but, you know, I've always been comfortable around adults. I think it helped me mature and, you know, take ownership and responsibility for things. So I look back on all those experiences very fondly, and I'm grateful that my mom, you know, gave me the opportunity to do it.
Were there anyone else in your family, relatives or whatever, that have gone in this footsteps before you started out?
No, not before me. Since I did it, my younger cousin's done a little bit of stuff. And I'm not sure what she's doing now or if she's continued it, but I know she did a few things.
I see. I mean, how did you take it, you know, when you first started out? I mean, I know you said you sort of matured into it and saw the, you know, of course, having wonderful experience in doing all this. At the same time, how was your parents looking back? I mean, how were they involved in terms of, you know, making sure that you didn't go off in a tangent somewhere?
Right. Well, my mom came with me to every job. Like I said, she was a teacher, so she was very lucky in that she had flexibility in her job. You know,
right.
she had X amount of sick days or personal days a year, so she would always go with me. And then once, if she couldn't, my grandparents, again, since they're local, would sometimes take me to jobs, so that was always fun and interesting. And then, of course, once I started driving myself, then I could take myself.
Okay. As an actress, you know, you were in the movie House Arrest with Jamie Lee Curtis and Jennifer Love Hewitt. How was that experience like?
It was crazy. At the time, I was only in fourth grade, so, you know, I got pulled out of school for like a week.
Uh-huh.
It actually, the movie shot in an area local to Cleveland. It's called Chagrin Falls. It's a very, like, picturesque, almost like Truman Town town. But it was insane. I mean, to see what actually goes on behind the scenes at that age was just crazy. I mean, food everywhere, you know, makeup everywhere. It was just a crazy experience to be a part of. And, you know, to see at the time Jennifer Love Hewitt was becoming really famous and, you know, Jamie Lee Curtis has, you know, been in a ton of movies.
Mm-hmm.
So to see them and meet them was crazy and just a great experience for someone, you know, that young.
Was there any other local artists that you were with?
What's that?
Were there other local people that were involved with the show besides you?
Yeah, a few other people from my agency were involved, so it was fun because at least I knew a few other people on set. But most of the people had flown in from LA and were cast out there.
Mm-hmm.
I just got lucky that, you know, they were shooting some of it locally and they needed some talent.
Now, you did some national commercials too. Please tell us about that.
Sure. My first one was for a hospital, so that wasn't national, but then from that, I had done McDonald's, SeaWorld, Hardee's, Subway. I did Subway last year, or 2 years ago, and it was actually a great experience for me because it starred Brady Quinn, our new quarterback here in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
So as a huge football fan, that was really fun. Of course, I had him sign a football for my husband.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's always fun to, you know, get new experiences and meet new people doing those commercials, and then, of course, seeing them on TV is fun.
Now you did like when you do McDonald's and stuff like that, do you get a, you know, a free McDonald's free quarter pounder for the whole year? I'm just kidding.
No, I did not, but I get asked that question a lot, actually. My dad, you know, when he found out I was doing Subway, he was like, oh, do we get free subs? That's not the way it works, but
now when you were doing all this though, how was you know, I'm sure it's fun at the same time, but it can be very challenging too. I mean, what are the things that when you look back, you know, it says, you know, is it really that glamorous to do all this commercial? Because when you see it, obviously, on TV, and you, God knows how many takes it takes to get it. So how was that in terms of, you know, like you're looking at it, you know, like, wow, is this a business, you know, that I really want to be in? Or, you know, because we see the finished product, and obviously the finished product is excellent.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is not as glamorous at all. You know, one 30-second commercial can take a full 12 hours of shooting over and over and over again. You know, for example, the Subway commercial, I was a showgirl in the commercial, and I had to wear a very heavy headdress, which, like, had chicken wire in it, and it dug into my head, and it was hot, and, you know, probably 10 pounds. My neck hurt for days afterwards. You know, I've done swimsuit ads where we have to shoot it in the freezing cold because, you know, they need to get them ready for the summer. And in the same regard, I've done, you know, winter clothing in the summer, you know, you shoot it then. So it is a lot of hard work, and the atmosphere can be very demanding, which is one of the reasons why I still do it a bit on the side, but never pursued it, you know, as my professional full-time career. I had thought about it, but it just wasn't the environment that I wanted to give myself for the rest of my life. So while I like doing it, you know, I just kind of do it on the side now as opposed to my entire life.
I understand. How were you perceived and treated in school while you were doing all the above? I mean, obviously you always have this, you know, small niche of friends, one or two or perhaps a group. And how about the rest of the student body?
You know, kids can be cruel, and a lot of the I will say that I didn't really tell anybody about this, but, you know, when I'm on TV or in advertisements, you know, people find out. Mm-hmm. And so I'm sure, you know, some kids were jealous or thought probably that they could do a better job or, you know, why is this girl doing this?
Mm-hmm.
So that would get hard sometimes, but I did have a great group of friends and my family who did support me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they were proud of me and, you know, never let it get to my head. My family and friends, whenever I would do something like that, you know, yeah, they showed me support, but they were quick to say, you know, Shannon, calm down. This is not a big deal. So I was never one of those divas or took advantage of the situation. I was lucky to be surrounded by people who kept me grounded.
Yeah. I understand what you're talking about because I think one of the things my mom, when I was growing up, I mean, was very quick to ground me, you know, put me down to reality, even though you accomplished
mm-hmm.
certain things in sports or whatever, that's what I'll do. And she was quick to, you know, hit a couple of notches to bring, you know, reality into
exactly.
real life situation. And I think at that time I couldn't understand it. Well, I mean, it's not necessarily that I couldn't understand. It's like, you know, gee, you know, I mean, she's a harsh critique about
mm-hmm.
things that I do or we do in this case. And then I think in hindsight, when we look back, it was good because you don't want to get too pumped up because then you know, you're floating away and not living in a very realistic world, so to speak, you know. So that
exactly.
was something, it was a good balancing act, I think, from the parents' side when they do something like that. Now, you and your husband also model together. And of course, he's a model, from what I understand. And you guys do American Greetings. How does that come about?
Well, when my husband and I first started dating, he, you know, had done some acting before through high school and college and that sort of thing. But I hooked him up with my agency. And so that's how he, you know, got his own agent and
yeah.
got more modeling experience. But what was fun is that, you know, when they need a couple for a shoot, instead of casting two people who don't know each other or may not have a lot of chemistry, we were lucky enough to get cast together, which is fun because then, you know, for example, American Greetings, we basically got paid to sit around and kiss each other or flirt or just act like be ourselves,
right,
you know, for
yeah,
hours
right.
at a time.
Yeah.
They actually, when we've worked a lot with American Greetings, you know, being in their cards
mm-hmm.
and also their displays that are in Target or, you know, wherever the cards are sold. But when they found out we were getting married, they actually sent a photographer and paid us you know, to take our picture at our wedding. So, you know, we didn't have to do anything. We just showed up and got married, and they, you know, took a few pictures and paid us for it. So that was kind of a cool wedding gift. But, yeah, it's been fun doing things together and, you know, experiencing the cool photo shoots and just meeting new people and getting to experience it alongside him. So that's been fun.
Do you you guys? I know you mentioned about doing some vodka ads and some. How was that compared, you know, to the other ads that you have done? I mean, how did that go?
It was a little similar but different. The vodka ad, it was actually shot on location in Lexington,
mm-hmm.
so it was cool because, you know, they paid for our travel and they put us up in a hotel and
mm-hmm.
you know, it was basically like getting paid for taking like a mini getaway vacation with him, and then, you know, all we did was just have to look like we were talking at a bar. So we just ended up hanging out for hours and just, you know, getting our picture taken. So it was similar in that all we had to do was be ourselves, which is quite simple, but it was that one was a bit more glamorous in that they paid for our travel and put us up that way.
Now, you guys get a bottle of vodka every Christmas for the rest of your life? Part of the
we
contract.
Do not. They did give us some to take with us,
uh-huh.
but I think we gave them away as gifts or something. I don't remember, but no, that that wasn't in the contract.
I understand. Now, you're also a talented singer. I mean, obviously, you know, you do a lot of singing. When did you discover the talent?
Well, I think I started singing the backseat of my parents' car probably as soon as I started talking. My first little play or whatever was at my daycare. I was Ariel in The Little Mermaid. Mm-hmm. And then just from then on, you know, I kept up with it and, you know, started getting more involved in better things than my daycare play. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I still love doing it. I'm happy to have the opportunity to, you know, give that gift back to other people and even be able to sing somewhere other than my shower or car. So,
Do you travel, apparently, right? I mean, when you were singing with a choir. I mean, tell us about that. How was your experience? Because, you know, at what age did you do that? And I know that you've been to several countries in Europe. And what has that done for you personally in terms of having the opportunity to go through that in that particular time in your life?
Sure. When I was 15, I was a featured soloist in this traveling church choir group that went to England, Wales, and Scotland. So I did that, I think, when I was 15, 14 years old. I was a freshman in high school, and my mom went with me then, probably because she was a little nervous about her daughter traveling abroad by herself. But it was great. We sang in the cathedrals all throughout England, Scotland, and Wales. And great experience, saw, you know, so many fantastic things. And it was my first trip abroad. And I think that it was good that it was England and Scotland and Wales, because I didn't have to, for my first time out of the country, you know, get over that language barrier, because they do, you know, obviously still speak English. So that was a great experience. And then because that went so well, I was asked to be a featured soloist again, I believe when I was 17, 18. It was my senior year in high school, and that time I went by myself, and we went to Germany, Austria, Hungary, Liechtenstein, and France, and that was an amazing experience. I actually jumped off a mountain in Germany, so I tried to, as much as the downtime that we had out there, I tried to explore and, you know, see as much of the local culture that I could. But singing in those cathedrals was just an experience that I'll never forget. The acoustics there and just getting the opportunity to do that in front of other people in another country was just great, phenomenal. So, I was really lucky to do that while I could take the time off, because, you know, now that probably wouldn't be very practical since I work full-time. But, you know, back then it was a good time for that to happen, I guess.
You did bungee jumping? Is that what you did?
It wasn't bungee jumping. It was it was kind of like parachute sail thing. I jumped off a mountain, and I was not by myself, thank goodness, or I probably would have crashed into the ground. But I was attached to a professional. And they, you know, pulled the chute and then did all these crazy little tricks down that made you feel like you were, you know, tumbling to your death. And then they would slow down so that you could see the landscapes and everything. It was really cool. I would definitely do it again and recommend it to anybody else.
Now, you also performed with Ruth McClanahan when you were 13. Tell us about that.
Sure. Here in Cleveland, we actually have a fantastic theater. It's actually the second largest theater district in the country, second to New York City. So a lot of New York and Broadway tours come through here. And Bye Bye Birdie was a national tour, and it was coming through Cleveland. And, you know, they had their core cast where Rue McClanahan from the Golden Girls was Albert's mom. I don't know if you're familiar with that show, but it's just like a older, overbearing mother role. So she played that role. And then the teen lead ensemble members, they cast locally. So we sang probably like four songs, so a decent amount of stage time, you know, for somebody who was that young and with this, you know, national touring company. So we rehearsed for months, and then finally when the touring group came in, they were here for 2 weeks. So I think we had a total of maybe 12 performances, but one of them was one of the numbers that Rue McCallahan was in. So it was cool to be on stage with her and interact with her. And of course she gave us all her autographs, so that was nice. But
that was wonderful. I mean, it looks like you have so much fun, and at the same time you've done so much at a very short period of time, when I guess within the age of, you know, I mean, when I talk about, not that you don't understand anything at 3 or 4 years old, but say for example someone, when they get to about say 10 or 12, they sort of understand life, real situations and stuff like that, and between that age till say 18 or so, and you have all these wonderful things happening in your life, it must be a tremendous amount of you're not living an ordinary life, I guess. That's what I'm trying to say. An average kid out there. So that's, you know, a big challenge within itself, within yourself, to go through that experience. How is that, looking back in time now? How was that? Was that some, you know, one of the things also that we talk about and we realize this is that you cannot create order without creating disorder somewhere else. Do you feel like you're missing something while you're doing that and not doing something else instead?
You know, there were times when I went to like a summer show choir camp with some of my friends, and I ended up having to do a commercial shoot over the camp, so I had to get pulled out of it for a few days. There were times where I would make plans with friends and, you know, have to reschedule them because I had a photo shoot or something like that. But there were also times when I had something big in my life going on, for example, my prom, and an opportunity would come up, and I turned it down because, you know, I didn't want to miss out on certain life experiences.
Right.
There were other times where, you know, when I was in college, I was asked to do modeling outside the country or for extended periods of time. And, you know, at that time, I just kind of had to reevaluate my life, my priorities, and a lot of times I did choose my everyday life over some of those opportunities, because from the get-go, that was kind of where I identified my priorities to be. Had I been, you know, raised by different parents, or had I been a different person, I don't know how that would have panned out or if I would have made some decisions that I regret. But I'm happy with the balance that I kept, and that I always kept my family and friends and just being an everyday kid and those experiences as a priority. And I'm grateful that, I don't know if it was my parents who instilled that in me or what instilled that in me, but I'm happy that I was able to do that.
Well, that brought us to brings us to this wonderful website that you built, The Daily Balance. What is the inspiration behind that?
Well, as we've discussed, you know, I've always been a very, you know, busy person, on the go, here, there, that, everywhere. You know, and it is hard keeping balance in your life, whether it's, you know, through food or fitness or fashion. You know, I have all these passions, and I wanted an outlet to express all those passions in one space and, you know, help people who may have trouble, you know, balancing their time with their family, over exercising, over, you know, fashion, what have you. So it really is possible, you know, to have it all and to have all of those components in your life. It's just a matter of prioritizing them and, you know, kind of balancing them out. So that's what I was hoping to achieve in creating the site.
Is this something that you've thought about for a long time, or is it something that one day you realized that, wow, you know, I need to do this?
It kind of evolved over time. You know, I was looking for something, whether it be a website or writing or, you know, some local program, what have you. I was looking for some outlet to get all my passions and, you know, experience, I guess, for lack of a better word, across. And it was then that I started noticing other blogs.
Mm-hmm.
I read a lot of other lifestyle and food blogs. But in reading all of these blogs, you know, they were either just a fashion blog or just a food blog or just a fitness blog. And I couldn't really find one that encompassed all of those areas that, you know, someone would want to have in their life or would be interested in. I mean, mm-hmm. exercise is something that everyone has in their life, whether they don't do it or they do it. And food, you know, you have to eat. Fashion, you have to get dressed. Why not look good? So I didn't find a blog or a site that had all of those things. So I thought, you know, this is a great opportunity to do that myself and, you know, create an online community where people can go and interact and share advice and that sort of thing. So that's kind of how that idea originated.
What's interesting for me when I look through your site is that I find that there's a wealth of information and there's so much different, there's several topics that it hits right on the nose when you talk about balancing one's life. And of course, looking at what you have just mentioned, the things that you have done, quite possibly someone like you and even your husband for this situation, I mean, you guys probably, if you chose to be involved full-time in, I guess, for lack of a better term here, the entertainment world, would have done so much better if you guys were in L.A., and yet I realize that you guys are not in LA and you chose to live in Cleveland. How's that? I mean, how does that came about in terms of what you think is important to you?
Well, my husband actually did move to LA for about 6 months when we were in college. He mm-hmm. decided, you know, he's going to try it out, better now than never.
Right.
Didn't want to have any regrets, so he went out there, and I was actually going to meet him out there after I graduated from college.
Mm-hmm.
He went out there, though, and he really wasn't happy. It's a very different environment out there
mm-hmm.
As far as, you know, people made him all these empty promises when he went out there.
Mm-hmm.
People are very superficial. You can't really trust them.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we kind of, at that point, reevaluated our priorities, you know,
mm-hmm.
we did realize that if being in this entertainment industry is what we wanted to do, we would have to move to LA and we would have to, you know, take as many opportunities as we could. But
right.
at what cost? You know, when you're out there, you're under stress that you couldn't even imagine. You know, you're under the scrutiny of, you know, the media, the industry as a whole, whether it's, you know, wanting them to lose weight or not act like you're in a relationship. I mean, just looking at the relationships in Hollywood alone, how many of them are actually successful and how many of them actually are able to maintain, you know, a home life. And that's only the very famous people that we're hearing about. I mean, think
right.
of all the other, you know, people who are struggling. And that just, that risk and that additional, you know, problems that could
mm-hmm.
be created by being out there just
mm-hmm.
wasn't worth any success or any fame or what have you that we would get from moving out there and being in the entertainment industry. So it was then, you know, once we realized that we're the most important people in our lives and that's our priority, our lifestyle, we just weren't cut out for LA. So, you know, we'd figured that we'd stay here in Cleveland and support the local
mm-hmm.
local community of, you know, theater and singing and acting. And stay grounded, you know, with our family, because that, again, was another one of our priorities, and we wanted to start one of our own families, and
mm-hmm.
it was important to us that we stayed close to our family and where we grow up. So it was kind of then that it was a no-brainer, you know, that we were each other's priority, and
right.
since we made that decision, it just didn't make a lot of sense to go out there. So we're here in Cleveland.
No, very interesting. I think you guys made a wise choice as far as that goes. I have some friends who are in who's doing some modeling jobs in LA, very successful. But at the same time, I agree what you're talking about. It's not necessary for everyone, but it's not necessary for everyone as it is like you can't create order without creating disorder somewhere else. And so, and that comes back to full circle in terms of balance, what is a priority in your life. And obviously, you guys at a very young age made a decision that, you know, hey, you know, this is how we want to live our life. And there's no right or wrong decision. It's just a matter of like, you know, this is what we chose to do. And then the most important thing to me is that doing the very best in the particular chosen field or the lifestyle or the way you want to live, that to me is far more important than anything else, because you can be successful in any particular chosen field that you chose to do if you give everything you have. Your passion
exactly.
and everything else. So that's, you know, to me, no question about. And that's what I end up when I read your blog and the things that you do. And after talking to you here on the radio, I noticed, you know, I know I made the right decision having you come on this morning and talk about this daily balance issue. What is your expectation when you first started the website?
I really had no idea what to expect. You know, you kind of, you work on something for so long and you think you have this great content, and then, you know, for a while I was under the assumption that it was just, you know, my husband and my mom and my dad reading it. but then, you know, I started getting emails and comments and, you know, people emailing me and messaging me, telling me, you know, how much they've liked it and getting questions. And I had no idea what to expect, but it has exceeded my expectations. I've been so grateful to be accepted into, I guess, the blogging community. I've made some great friends who I actually have met and hung out with in real life. Who are not only readers of my blogs, but other fellow bloggers who have, you know, similar blogs that I've run across in this whole process. But it's been really great. I'm excited for, you know, what the future will bring. I've only had the blog since March, so I don't know, maybe a little over, maybe 6 months or so. But Each month it seems that I get new messages and new emails of people who are enjoying it and coming back, so I hope they continue to do so and, you know, are liking what they're reading.
How much time does it take for you to do that?
I'd say about an hour or so a day. What I do is, you know, I have a section where I have recipes, and then I have a section where I review different fitness or food products, and then I have a section where I do a workout routine, a section where I reflect over the week, because, you know, no matter how crazy or bad your week can get, there's always something to be thankful for. So I have a day where I reflect back on what I'm thankful for, and then I have a fashion contest. So I normally work on content throughout the week, you know, whenever I have a spare hour or so, and I always have my camera with me. So sometimes you'll see, you know, a recipe that I made 2 weeks ago that I decide to, like, for example, those burgers, I made those sometime last week. But when I made them, I knew, you know, this would be great to share at the blog. So I'm just always looking for new opportunities and different information and content that I think my readers would be interested in reading. And that kind of saves me a lot of time, because then on Monday I'm not like, oh, I need to make something, or, oh, I need to take a picture. I build myself up a database and then just kind of pull from that as I need content. So it works well. I'm never scrambling, you know, to finish something or meet a deadline, a fake one, I guess it would be, since it's my own. But
well, you know, a career, I guess, in some ways, I guess, I always tell people this, a job is something that you do to pay bills, and a career is a hobby that you do and you get paid for it. But obviously your blog is a hobby, and so you just enjoy it. There's no thinking about it, just enjoying that you do every day. And like you say, you just build database, and then you enjoy sharing it. So it makes a big difference and making a positive difference in someone else's lives too. So that to me is very exciting. You obviously enjoy food and eating. What are your views about this?
Well, I get asked that a lot. You know, Shannon, do you have dessert, or do you, you know, you always talk about eating healthy. Do you ever eat pizza? And the answer is, of course. I do feature dessert and little indulgences a lot on my blog. And I do sometimes, you know, try and make a healthy spin on it. For example, with an ice cream sundae, I'll take, you know, low-fat ice cream at home, and instead of adding hot fudge, I'll take fat-free chocolate pudding and heat it up in the microwave, and that serves as my fudge. So I'm always looking for new ways to, you know, make something healthier. But at the same time, I will admit, you know, I definitely have a dessert and one too many pieces of pizza, you know, several times. And I believe in what I call the 90-10 rule. And that's that if, you know, 90% of the time you make healthy decisions and 90% of the time you work out or park far away so you can walk in or take the stairs or practice healthy habits, then that 10% of the time, you know, where you order dessert maybe once a week or go out with friends for a few drinks or order pizza, you know, on a Sunday when you're watching the football game, none of that will matter because you're practicing healthy habits the majority of the time. You know, an extra few hundred calories, it's not going to make you gain weight. It's not going to, you know, set you back and all of a sudden you're wearing a size larger. Now, if you do that all the time and reverse it, then that becomes a problem. But by following, you know, this 90-10 rule, you really can indulge as, you know, few more times than you would think. So
how about this? You know, you obviously, as you, you know, life is a journey, and you do different things in life, and you've learned a lot from it. You're looking back, the good, bad, and ugly, so to speak. In doing the daily balance, how has it affected you from within?
In creating this content, and especially just from my readers, it has inspired me so much. You know, getting their emails and hearing how they just read some random little thing that I wrote that I didn't think would really make a difference or, you know, didn't think was that important, you know, hearing that they do find it important and that people are actually, you know, coming to my page every day and that it's making a difference in their life, that inspires me so much and makes me want to, you know, give them as much information and as many helpful tools as I can and, you know, just serve as that go-to person for them, and if I don't have an answer, I'm more than happy to help them find one or to be that person to point them to, you know, somebody else. So it's just very empowering to know that people care about what you're saying and come back to read more and then tell you that they're enjoying it. I never expected to feel that inspired just simply by the people who care about what I'm saying.
Do you have ever get any feedback about people that just totally was just blown away by some of the things that you talk about?
Yeah, I, you know, I've gotten emails where somebody takes, for example, the Thankful Thursday that I do, where on Thursdays I talk about what I'm thankful for, and then I always invite other readers to say what they were thankful for that week. And I've gotten a few emails from people, you know, just telling me that they had the worst week and that they're going through just a terrible time in their life. And just simply by doing that exercise, they realized, you know, it's not that bad. It could be a lot worse. And here are five things that went really well this week that made me smile. And suddenly, you know, they were in a really dark place and they're now turned around. You know, same thing with the diet. You know, people have emailed me telling me, oh, I was miserable. I was eating, you know, lettuce every day. And then I saw how you made, you know, a healthy version of pizza or a healthy version of dessert. And they're just so thankful that they can, you know, enjoy something that they had considered forbidden. And just contributing to their lifestyle, getting better, just makes me so happy. And I guess that's why I do it every day.
What is the is the difference, I guess, now versus, say, in March, when you look at it in hindsight, like, wow, gee, if I have to do it all over again, would I have done something different?
I don't think I would have done anything different. I haven't changed too much. What I'd hope to achieve, or I guess what I'm trying to do in the future, is make it more of a community where, you know, where I'm not the only expert or I'm not the only one telling people. But, you know, at the end of my posts, I always encourage other people to share similar experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And so I hope that as people are reading those comments, they find, you know, other blogs that are just as great and share just as much great information, because I'll tell you, I am not the only one out there.
Mm-hmm.
There are some great ladies, some great men who have these blogs with amazing content and are such inspirational people. So I hope that by inviting people to share their stories and, you know, by doing guest posts, that it just really invigorates that community out there and
mm-hmm.
gets other people talking within the blogging community. So that's my goal moving forward.
Let's talk a little bit about your hobby. I found out that you have a black belt in karate. Tell us about that. I mean, what got you into martial arts?
Well, my brother actually wanted to do it back when we were, he was probably 5 and I was 7 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I wasn't going to let my brother do this cool thing without me. So I asked him if I could do it with him. And so we went to weekly classes together. My mom would take us, and then it got to the point where sometimes we were going twice a week and a third time a week to just get additional practice. But
mm-hmm.
it was just a half hour to an hour session, and, you know, we did it every week until we became black belts, and that was, I think, when I was a freshman in high school, so a long time ago. But since then, you know, I try and keep practicing because you forget so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But I think just as a woman, you know, it gives me so much confidence in knowing that if I had to, I could defend myself. And if I had to, I could, you know, really kick some butt. So it's empowering. It is.
Right, right. Well, you should also remember that growing up, it gives you an opportunity to beat up on your little brother and you know, hey, I have an excuse for it, you know, because, hey, we're just sparring.
Exactly. Well, it's funny because we would always spar, and
uh-huh.
I would always kick his butt because at the time I was larger than him.
Uh-huh.
And my dad and mom always said, Shannon, you know, you better watch it. One day you're going to wake up and you're going to be at Justin's shoulders. And
right.
My brother now is like 6'2". He's like 200-something. I mean, he's just a big huge pound of muscle. He could
uh-huh.
pick me up with, you know, his pinky and fling me across the room. So
yeah, yeah.
if luckily he's a nice brother, so he doesn't take advantage of his strength. But
discipline him way before, see? So you gave him first, you know.
Exactly. That was conditioning. That was my whole he's on my side now. He knows not to mess with me.
Coming back to your daily balance, what are some of the interesting topics that you cover on a daily basis? I know the wonderful thing you talk about, something to be grateful of, and you do that every Thursday, which is very interesting because sometimes we forget that in life, you know, with all the challenges we have, and to me, that's reflecting back because sometimes we always think about the past, we think about the future, we never think about present moment. And present
mm-hmm.
moment is the time and opportunity for us to reflect back and say, you know, hey, I've got a lot done. I've got a lot accomplished. It matters. And what I do today will certainly, you know, show up tomorrow. In other words, you know, you plan today for tomorrow, so to speak. What are the things that really sort of touch your heart, so to speak, that when you were putting this whole package together for your daily balance?
It was really important to me to have the Thankful Thursday because,
mm-hmm.
You know, like you said, you can get so caught up in the day-to-day that it's really difficult to stay in the present and realize, you know, no matter how bad it is, there's always something to be thankful for. So that was really important to me. And just in coming up with my content in general, I wanted to keep things themed on a day-to-day basis. So, you know, every Monday it's Make It Monday, which is a recipe, or every Tuesday it's Try It Tuesday or product review. So I kept those the same throughout the week so that at the beginning of the day I wasn't sitting at my computer being like, oh, what am I going to write about today? You know, it kind of kept me accountable and kept me on track. And there's certainly tons of information out there to pull from and new ideas that I certainly don't think I'll run out of any content in one of those categories. But I like having them because, you know, it gives my readers something to expect. You know, maybe they don't care about Try It Tuesday, but maybe they do like Work It Wednesday with the fitness. So it gives something for everyone. You know, I didn't just want to focus on recipes, but I wanted to provide lots of little tidbits for people. And if they don't tune in every day, fine. But, you know, if they check back just on the section that they care about, well, then I'm happy to provide that for them.
Well, life is a buffet line. You can choose what you like and you stick with it, or you can always try something new and different.
So, definitely.
Yeah, so that kind of gives it, you know, a different twist, so to speak. And so that to me is very exciting. That's what's interesting about your blog. Well, let's do this. How can someone get in touch with you in terms of, you know, reading your blog? Tell us your blog address.
Sure. It's just www.thedailybalance.com. And my email, if anybody wants to email me, it's just info@thedailybalance.com. And I'm also on Twitter, you know, how we met. It's my tag is just The Daily Balance, no spaces. So just remember The Daily Balance and you will find me.
Well, what can we expect from you in 2010?
I've been thinking a lot about that, actually. You know, like I mentioned before, I do want the blog to become more of a community and more of an interactive environment instead of just me coming in every day and saying, you know, you should do this or this worked for me, it should work for you. I really do want to encourage people to participate with others and share their own stories and their own advice. So, you know, I've been brainstorming ways in which I can allow people to do that and, you know, get to know others and not just be listening to me. Because, like I said, the blogging community out there is just so rich and so much to see and learn. So I'd love to open that to other people who aren't aware of it.
Fantastic. By the way, we're coming close to the end of the show, and for all guests I have on this show, do you have a recipe for living you would like to share with our listeners this morning?
I do have a recipe for living. It's my recipe for living. You know, in talking to you, you've heard that family and my husband are very, very important to me. And, you know, for myself, as long as I put my husband and those other people that I love first, everything else will fall into place. You know, the reason why I didn't go out to LA was because I felt that it would infringe upon, you know, everything that I'm trying to achieve in my relationship and with my family. So for me, if I just put the people that I love most and the ones that support me and that I care about, if I put them first, everything else will work out. You know, it doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter how much success you have if you have nobody to share it with. I think so often people take other priorities, and maybe that does work for them. But for me, I will just always make my decisions with my family and husband in mind and know that it's the right one.
Fantastic. That sounds really good. Appreciate that wonderful. I mean, it's very insightful to me to have someone, you know, say something like that, and it's wonderful. Shannon, thank you for the great recipe and for spending this hour with me on From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Our listeners, you're welcome. And to all our listeners, thank you for being with us this morning. Please join me next Tuesday morning as we continue with our theme From My Mama's Kitchen Recommends. My guest will be Laura Dutsta. She is the best-selling author, speaker, and visionary. The message from her first book, I Love You More, captures the power and magic of unconditional love shared between a mom and a child. Her mission is to generate the conversation of love around the world. We will be discussing her life's journey, her best-selling book, I Love You More, and her mission and passion about spreading unconditional love worldwide. For additional information about this show, future shows, and for my weekly recipes for living, please go to FromMyMamasKitchen.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at Twitter/FMMK Talk Radio. And thank you again for listening today. Have a great week. And Shannon, thank you again, and have a wonderful day.
Thank you. You too. Thanks a lot.
Take care. Bye-bye.